this is a recording, man.
There's too many of you to cry. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die.
You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and peace here today.
Oh, picket lines,
sister,
and picket signs. Punish me,
sister,
with brutality.
Sister,
talk to me,
sister,
so you can see.
Sister,
oh, what's going on?
Good morning, New York and New Jersey, as well as the great world beyond. This is the Labor Press's Bob Henley at Stuck Nation, because we surely are. It's just after 7 a.m., April 25th. This is BAI's Drive Time News Magazine, What's Going On? Michael G. Haskins is our audio engineer, and Linda Perry is our executive producer. This is your Monday morning back to work, back to school show. Our focus is always labor. Sunrise is at 6.03 a.m. It's 49 degrees under partly sunny skies. We'll get up to 60 degrees later today. We're going to be in roughly that temperature range all week, with a 40% chance of showers tomorrow, a chance for our seedlings to take root. The rest of this week will be a mix of sun and clouds, with the brightest day being Friday. Next weekend looks decent. This morning, our focus is the environment. We'll look at the struggle over how we can fight to improve our air quality in places like Newark, New Jersey, where tens of thousands of essential workers and their families live. Since the Industrial Revolution, it's been communities like Ironbound in Newark that have been left with the toxic waste from legacy corporations, and it's these same communities that have borne the brunt of COVID. We'll hear from activist Kim Gady, the National Environmental Justice Director for Clean Water Action, and Dr. Robert Lumbach, a physician and nationally recognized environmental and occupational health public expert at Rutgers School of Public Health, about their efforts to stop the construction of yet another massive gas-powered generator in Ironbound by the Passaic Valley Sewerage Commission. And then we'll be blessed with an Earth Day Alleluia visit with the Reverend Billy and Savetri D, who's the director of the Church of Stop Shopping. Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir's gospel affirms workers, but opposes consumerism, militarism, and capitalism's attack on nature. They've been longtime supporters of WBAI and of organizing efforts like the Amazon Labor Union, which made national news when it won the first union vote ever up against the corporate behemoth. We'll also take your calls at 212-209-2877.
Thanks, Jonah. I first want to offer our condolences to the family and co-workers of New York City firefighter Timothy Klein, 31, who was killed Sunday night after fighting a vicious Brooklyn house fire that also took the life of a 21-year-old young man. Several firefighters were injured. I was out at the Amazon rally on Staten Island yesterday with several hundred people and got to speak with Chris Smalls. The Amazon Labor Union has a big vote this week for the JFK Staten Island site, and we'll be following it closely. This is WBAI 99.5 FM and WBAI.org, streaming live on the web. Thanks for everyone in the labor community who phoned in pledges to keep us on the air. Thanks to Nelson Flores, the ferocious civil service watchdog, and Joe Puglio and DC 37 Local 983 for their very generous contribution. I had a chance to catch up with Sarah Nelson from the CWA flight attendants.
So, why'd you come here today?
How could I not be here today? I mean, this is what I've been waiting for 25 years, for workers to wake up to the power that we have when we come together. And, you know, a lot of people thought this couldn't happen, but all it really takes is is that consciousness. And I think that, you know, people have had enough. And it's not surprising that it's being led by the next generation, because no one has laid down a path for them that works. They're fighting, they're talking about the same battles that we were talking about 100 years ago, because we haven't been willing to fight. We have, you know, our density has decreased, so we don't have the power that we had before. but we can claim it again. And that's what they're doing here. And I want to cheer that on. This is what I've been hoping for and wanting for all workers for a very long time, because just representing flight attendants, I can't take on the issues that they care about, that really matter to them, without the rest of labor being organized too.
So how did the COVID pandemic prevent? It seems that 20 million people have walked away from their job. Bigger, that's 8 million more than it's AFL-CIO. So something's going on. The social contract of work has changed. Is this opening, this once-in-a-century opening that labor has to make its case to workers?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the workers are making the case to labor. What did you hear here today? Come on. I mean, people want a union, and they've been sitting around waiting for labor to wake up to that, and they're done sitting around. They're taking charge, they're making their unions, and we're building a new labor movement.
So you see it as kind of like they're against the status, they're shaking the labor movement up. They're challenging the status quo.
I think that they are claiming their own power. I don't think this has to do with, you know, look, what this is really doing is it's going back to labor's roots and what labor really is. Labor is the working people. It's the people on a job site who have the same experience and want to take on the boss together because they're not being treated fairly. And when they do that here, workers in other job sites see that, and they see that they can do it too. Because, as Mother Jones said more than 100 years ago, the capitalists say there is no need of labor organizing except that they themselves are constantly organizing and show their real beliefs. And they have been. And they have been organizing around how to squeeze more and more out of the workers. It doesn't matter what industry it is. And so it's time that we wake up and support each other and take our money back. Thank you.
Now this Earth Anthem from Marvin Gaye.
On the oceans and on my high seas, fish for mercury.
Back in 2020, Governor Murphy signed what he hailed as the nation's strongest law to protect communities like the Ironbound in Newark from continuing to bear an unjust share of polluting infrastructure like incinerators and power plants. Historically, it's been places like Ironbound where legacy industries left toxic waste behind, and 21st century enterprises continue to contribute to degraded air quality that are responsible for some of the highest juvenile asthma rates in the country. And it's our cities like Newark that have also borne the disproportionate share of COVID deaths and infections. More than 18 months after Governor Murphy signed this bold commitment, it's being put to the test with the application from the Passaic Valley Sewerage Commission to build a $180 million gas-powered generator to provide auxiliary power to its Newark Bay treatment plant that processes the human waste generated by 1.5 million residents in 48 municipalities in Bergen, Essex, Hudson, Union, and Passaic counties. The proposed facility would be the fourth methane gas power plant in Ironbound. But an impressive coalition of the nation's top environmental health physicians and local activists recently wrote Governor Murphy that the plant would be contrary to the spirit of the law they signed back in 2020. It's an honor to welcome Kim Gady, National Environmental Justice Director for Clean Water Action and winner of the 2021 Ross Barry Making a Difference Award, and Dr. Robert Lumbach, a physician associate professor of environmental and occupational health and justice at Rutgers School of Public Health. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning.
So, Kim, what's at stake here? Tell listeners.
Well, what's at stake is the health of the residents and the Ironbound community and the South Ward. You know, this plant directly contradicts Governor Murphy's policies to deal with environmental justice and our climate crisis. We are suffering from an overload of pollution sources already, and it is truly environmental racism. This would be the continuation of environmental racism if this plant is successful in the Ironbound. We cannot have it.
Now, Dr. Lumbach, you've been working a long time. I think I spoke to you over a decade ago when I was working at WNYC about some of these very same issues. Paint us a public health picture of what exactly young people are struggling against already in Ironbound.
Well, Ironbound is one of those overburdened communities here in New Jersey that's been identified under the EJ legislation. There's many throughout New Jersey, but Ironbound in particular, you know, is a site where there are a number of sources of air pollution. There's issues with lead contamination. There's issues with traffic pollution. And all those factors come together, along with the other vulnerabilities that people have living in a community where there's higher rates of underlying disease like asthma, as well as other social factors, what we call social determinants of disease, that all come together to increase the likelihood that air pollution or other environmental insults will affect people's health in the community.
And I think you mentioned at the press conference that these have a synergistic effect. It's not just one thing after another, but they may have an interactive potential, which would elevate our concern.
Right. You know, so first of all, there's more exposure to air pollution and other environmental insults in this community, as well as then there's also more vulnerability, people with more underlying medical conditions, underlying, which are also due to social and other environmental determinants of disease. And then on top of that, there's also interactions that we're finding between air pollution, for example, and other factors like stress, for example. Social stressors, we think, act through the body in a similar way that air pollution and other environmental stressors may act. So they can work by common pathways that then increase risk even more than we would expect by either one alone.
Wow, it sounds like we've got to draw a line somewhere, and this may be it. Kim, I know you know better than anybody that back in 2013, Sandy, because we were unprepared with our utilities, that there was a devastating price paid for the sewage plant, where when 12, 13 feet of water came in, it just knocked it out entirely. It had a tremendous impact with sewage and toxic waste that rose up in the Passaic and became yet another headache for the community you serve. And so the plant is, the commissioners are making the argument that this will be a plant that will operate infrequently. And yet you say there's another way. We can have redundancy, but not continue to contribute to the issues of global warming by burning fossil fuels. Make that case, if you would, Kim.
Yes, I mean, we clearly understand that we need resiliency in the event of another disaster like Superstorm Sandy, but the solution can't be to perpetuate, again, the environmental racism that exists. The Newark Energy Center is already right down the street from this proposed power plant. So let's think about options to use that. Why must we create a fourth power plant in a community that is already overburdened? It's a false solution. And again, it will begin to increase health impacts on residents. And we live already in a diesel death zone. And we cannot have another power plant that will continue to contribute to pollution that is killing us. The Ironbound community cannot continue to be a sacrifice zone for the state and Newark. The South Ward community, which is right next door where I reside, it can't be. We want real solutions, but those solutions have to be based on real clean energy and not what we're seeing from this.
I think that the old adage is, when you're in a hole, stop digging. If you could tell us, we like to give people some action-oriented things. There's a hearing coming up on Tuesday. How can we be of support to Ironbound? How can we stand with you people in this struggle?
Yes, definitely. Make sure you sign up for the hearing, which is Tuesday with PVSC. There's a link on the Ironbound Community Corp website. And it's really important that the voices are heard from the residents. And we need support from everyone, because this will not just impact the Ironbound community. So that hearing is tomorrow. And we need everyone to sign up and support our Ironbound community and North as a whole.
And I'll make sure to get those coordinates out, too, so we can, using social media. Dr. Longman, back to you. I want to open up the lens a bit and talk about what we first talked about many years ago, which is the particulate matter that we see from diesel production. We know that combustion, we know that that area is a very artery for the mighty port of New York and New Jersey. We know that in California, some more enlightened people there came up with an idea that maybe we should have new diesel engines, which burn much more efficiently and thus save a generation's lungs. We don't seem to have quite made the same kind of choice here in New Jersey. There's been some nibbling at the edges. What's the implication of continued diesel pollution for the people that are elderly and for our young people that we have so much hope for?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, in California, they've been way ahead of us in terms of cleaning up what we call goods movement, or the trucks and the trains and the ships that transport goods around the country. So as you mentioned, you know, Newark is the largest seaport on the East Coast, Newark Elizabeth, and it's all containers, and a lot of that goes on trucks. And a lot of those trucks are older trucks that are much more polluting than newer trucks. But even the newer trucks now, it's been 2007 when these new regulations went into effect that lowered the particulate matter air pollution from those trucks. And we still have thousands of pre-2007 trucks going to the port here and on the roads in New Jersey in general. Whereas in California, now there's a statewide ban on these pre-2007 trucks. And years ago, they started eliminating them from their ports. A recent study showed that there's been a 20% decrease in asthma hospitalizations in areas near highways and other, you know, arteries, as you mentioned, near these ports in California, because of the improvements in air quality due to the controls that have been put on trucks and trains and ships in California. And Unfortunately, that has not happened here.
Oh, what a travesty. Caller, if you want to get in, call if you want to get in on this, 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Kim, I wanted to ask you about this question. You know, when Earth Day comes around, some of labor supports what's going on, but labor's kind of been divided about this, because in the energy sector, it is somewhat unionized, and there's been this false choice that we have to choose livelihood over a sustainable planet. The constituency within Ironbound and Newark, this is the backbone of the essential workforce. Paint us a word picture of who we're talking about here. Who are the folks that are undocumented, that have served throughout the pandemic, selflessly exposing themselves and their families to a killer virus? Who are the people that are living in Ironbound who really are at the table here?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about working class individuals, generations of family that decided that Newark was the place that they wanted to live and reside. And these are individuals that just want to live a healthy life. You have truck drivers, you have warehouse workers, you have individuals who are just trying to survive. And they want to live here in their own community without harms from toxics. And so we've been able to partner with some of those truck drivers within the community, the working class individuals, moms who just want to get involved because their children have asthma, teachers who wanted to support us, and businesses, not only in the Ironbound, but in the South Ward as well. So it is just everyday, ordinary people who understand that it is their birthright to breathe clean air in their community. And so they are fighting back against these hazardous facilities that are surrounding them. And they're saying that enough is enough. we can't take this, and there has to be a better way for us to live. And so that's what we see every day, that it is just ordinary people trying to live a healthy life.
Well, I thank you so much for your years of focused leadership on this. Dr. Lundbeck, we talked a little bit before the interview about what's been going on with COVID. And can you talk about that as an overlay, about the parallels we're seeing between the issues of health disparity and these communities that are also the overburdened ones ecologically?
Sure. And I think, you know, COVID sort of brought to light what folks in the environmental movement, as well as environmental health researchers, like, have known for quite a while, which is that various factors about exposure and susceptibility and resilience all come together to disproportionately affect certain groups of people. So around COVID, you know, not only are there workers who are the frontline workers who are more exposed than to the virus, but then they also, again, due to other social and environmental determinants of disease, may tend to be those who are more likely to have asthma, more likely to have diabetes, more likely to have other conditions that make them more susceptible to COVID. And then on top of that, what we found is that in areas where there's more air pollution, there's a higher incidence and higher mortality from COVID. There's been several studies, you know, showing that. So again, the confluence, the convergence of social and environmental factors together with, in this case, you know, COVID sort of helped to define that very clearly. You know, everyone's paying attention now, you know, with COVID, whereas really these factors underlie people's overburdened and disproportionate health problems. It's been that way for decades. It's been that way for a long time. And we need to start addressing this disproportionate burden of disease in certain populations or groups of people due to really underlying, you know, low income, poverty, racism, but manifested in many different ways through many different types of diseases, and then also environmental insults. And, you know, controlling air pollution is certainly one thing we can do, and we should be doing that.
And so, Kim, where are we at with the Port Authority? I mean, I know there's been a kind of generational shift. I believe that Senator Menendez's son is on the Port Authority. There's been a Mr. O'Toole is still the chairman. But what's going on there? I mean, the Port Authority occasionally comes out with a press release. Don't we need to apply some pressure there about these diesel trucks and port operations? I mean, they say that they're trying to be community friendly.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. We continue to keep the pressure on Port Authority of New York and New Jersey because they're not a good neighbor. You know, the port and the airport did in the middle of the South Ward and the Ironbound community with 20 to 25,000 daily truck trips, and 4,500 of those stand on our local roads. We just had a truck count for our Earth Week celebration. And on Freelandhuizen Avenue by Empire Street, in 1 hour, we counted 400 to 500 trucks coming through our local roads. We have had conversations, and we try to get them to see that it is really important to begin to establish zero emissions or the electrification of our trucks. We have talked to them for years. We've been in this fight for over 20 years. And to date, we have not seen any progress. And currently, we're actually fighting a potential Amazon that they want to build at our airport, a 250,000 square foot warehouse, which would increase more trucks on our roads. And so we haven't seen Port Authority of New York and New Jersey being a good neighbor. We haven't seen the progress that we need. This is something, it's a state of emergency. We can't continue to take baby steps when we are living in a diesel death zone and one out of four children in the city of Newark are suffering from asthma. We can't wait. And so we want real solutions in our community to begin to address these pollution sources. And so we're not there yet with them. And we're hoping that they come back to the table and really listen to the people who are most impacted and establish the right kind of policies that are needed to make sure we have zero emissions in the freight industry.
Well, and I guess also it wouldn't hurt if people of conscience wrote the Port Authority and took advantage of the public comment period. Maybe we'll circulate. I mean, that's the kind of thing that might have some impact.
Yeah, truly. I mean, we've attended some of their meetings as well. They had the first in-person meeting of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey a couple of weeks ago, and I spoke there. And so we encourage individuals to do that. And we also encourage them to reach out to these individual members because they see this as something so far away, and they don't understand that it is not. These are communities, these are people, you know, who are trying to live a life, a healthy life, and that all we want to do is make sure that our voices are heard, right, and that we have a seat at the table and the ability to discuss with them what solutions we need in our community. And so it is really important that we activate our residents to speak out and support this effort. And so that information could be found on Clean Water Action's website and ICC website as well. And we have another coalition, the Coalition for Healthy Ports and the Good Jobs Clean Air Coalition that individuals can check out our website and get involved. We need everyone to support us.
And Dr. Lumbach, I know that your Rutgers Public Health is committed to community engagement. How can folks get in touch with you? I know that people want to know how can they live in Ironbound? How can they reduce the risk to their children and to their elders?
Well, certainly, you know, we have also, a clinic at our site in Piscataway where we see patients if people are particularly concerned about their conditions, environmental or occupational related conditions that we they can be seen there. I can be reached by my email if anyone wants to contact me. My last name, Lumbach at Rutgers.edu, Lumbach at Rutgers.edu.
I want to thank both of you. You're both heroes of mine getting the work done. Please, let's be sure to follow up maybe once a quarter because we really want to make sure that we can do what we can to support you in this essential work.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Pleasure. That was Kim Gady with the Clean Water Action and Dr. Robert Lumbach. We're going to be back on the other side with an Earth Day Alleluia celebration after this from Odette.
This land. Island, from the redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land belongs to you and me. As I went roaming that ribbon of a highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me that golden valley. I said, this land belongs to you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the redwood forest to the Gulf Stream of water. This land belongs to you and me. I roamed and I rambled. I followed my footsteps. Across the golden sands of your diamond deserts. And all around me a voice kept singing. It said, this land belongs to you and me. This land is your land and it's my land. From California to the New York Island. From the redwood forest. This land is your land, and it's mine, from California to the New York Island.